turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And you said to yourself, Pastor, I thought we were going to talk about the birth of Christ. Well, we are. The book of Isaiah is an Old Testament passage of Scripture that reads almost like a New Testament gospel. In other words, it's a book of prophecy that was so clear when it was written, some 700 years before Christ would actually come to this earth, that it paints such a clear and a beautiful picture that we can almost read it as if it was a gospel that was being written after Jesus was born. So Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the Bible says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name, there's a lot in a name, right? There's a lot in a name. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for this time of year. We're grateful for this time of worship. I'm thankful, Lord Jesus, today for each and every person that you brought here. And Lord, before we even get into this message, I want to pray for them. I ask you, God, to place a hedge of protection around them, to give them what they stand in need of, whatever that may be. Lord, whatever may have brought them here today, whether it was just to be here to worship or whether they have a deep-rooted need that they can't speak, but Lord, you know what it is. Father, I pray that you would just minister to their hearts and minds. Father, I thank you for this group of people that they're so faithful, so dependable, so loving, and so kind. And Father, that is just not the way it is in the world we live in. And even among Christians, Lord, sometimes it grinds our natural tendencies. But Lord, you have overridden those things. And while we may not do them perfectly, the life we live through faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. So Lord, bless this group. Bless this time that we spend together. May your name be lifted up in praise, and may your kingdom be expanded today. And Lord, I pray that you would just place power upon the word that goes forth and let it not return void. But God, let it accomplish the purpose for which it's been sent. In Jesus' name, amen. Between the Testaments, between the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew, was some 400-year space of time where there was no utterance from God. No prophet spoke. There was no prophecy given. It was a quiet period of time as they waited for the Messiah to come. And all of a sudden, the waiting and the anticipation that has been going on throughout the centuries for the transformation of Israel and the deliverance of the world has finally been revealed in a little baby born in a stable. It seems like a strange way to save the world, sending a baby born in a stable, wrapped in swaddling or torn and tattered clothing, to come and to deliver a world from its oppressors. If I was God, I wouldn't have done it that way. And hallelujah, I'm not God. You ought to say, thank God. Amen. But, you know, to me, from a human perspective, that doesn't make a lot of sense. If I'd have been in that position, I would have looked at Gabriel or maybe Michael. You know, these angels are so powerful. In fact, it's recorded in Scripture that with one angel defeated 172,000 of King Sennacherib's men just by his presence. One angel. I'd have looked at one of them and said, hey, arm yourself for battle. You're going to go take care of this problem. But no, that's not the way it unfolded. That's not the way it happened. From heaven's perspective, the birth of Christ was spectacular. In fact, even in the New Testament, we read about the angels who beheld the baby in the cradle, in the manger. And they were astonished. So from heaven's perspective, it was a spectacular event. But when you look at it through human eyes, from our perspective, it's a pretty ordinary, anticlimactic, even disappointing event, to say the least. From heaven's perspective, it was absolutely awesome to think that the everlasting Father, the eternal God, the Lord of heaven and earth, would wrap himself up in flesh and come and live among men. From man's perspective, he was on the hit list before he was even born. Herod was trying to kill him before he even arrived. Satan had inspired him to kill the babies. There was no room in the hotel in Bethlehem, no room in the inn. He was born to a young woman who was trying to explain to her fiancé, hey, this isn't what it looks like. From man's perspective, there was no palace, there was no parade, there was no party. But just because your external circumstances are challenging, don't let that fool you into believing there is no Christ presence. I need to say that again. Just because your external circumstances don't look favorable does not mean that Jesus is not there. He's there because Christ stepped into the world through challenging circumstances. The glory of Christ's coming wasn't in the surroundings that He stepped into. Don't judge it by that. Instead, the glory in life, as you know, really comes in the abstract things that you cannot necessarily put a price tag on or a value on. The Apostle Paul tried to explain this to us when he wrote. He said, look, I know what it is. I have been abased and I know what it is to abound. I have been up, I have been down. I know what it is to be successful, and I know what it is to spend a night in prison. Paul said, I have been in both places, and the greatest lesson that I've learned is I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. That was the message that He taught us, and that's what we see taking place with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the truth of the matter is, and maybe some of you here know this and learned this through life, but having much in this life and having little in this life are both deserts in their own way. You have to understand that Jesus coming into the world by way of this humble environment was not an endorsement to poverty, as some would try to tell you, especially this time of year. Neither was His humble appearing a celebration of the plain and the ordinary. No, Jesus stepped outside of all of that, and He says none of these things really matter. And you all know that at Christmas time, or any time of year for that matter, it's not what you sit down at the table to eat that really matters. Now, some of us, it's more important than others. But it's really not the issue. The issue is who's there with you that day, sitting around that table. And sometimes, sadly, it may even be who may not be with you this year. It's not how much you paid for the bed. What matters is if you slept good or not. You can spend a lot of money, you know, and still not get a good night's sleep because your heart is not content and you don't have peace. You can spend a ton of money on a fancy bed and still not sleep good. So what's the point of all of the stuff that we do at Christmas time? What's the point if somebody gives you a big, elaborate, expensive gift and yet they don't really love you? What does that mean? As opposed to somebody who gives you, maybe somebody gives you a gift card to McDonald's with a note that says, you know what? I love you. You mean the world to me. There's no question about the love of God and the love that He has for us, because He came into the world for the purpose of redeeming mankind from sin and death, to set us free from our own human depravity, and to ultimately destroy the works of the enemy. That, folks, listen, by the precious blood of the Lamb, our adversary would be rendered helpless. And as the Bible says, his head would be bruised for the things that he's done to us. While Jesus was doing all of that, he did a few other things like bearing our grief, carrying our sorrows, enduring the chastisement of our peace, being wounded for our transgressions and being bruised for our iniquities, and he took our stripes that we might be healed. So, question. Why are you carrying around the sorrow and the grief and the shame that Jesus already carried away for you? I believe that man is not all that good at this, but I believe that Jesus would say, let it go. There is no doubt that Satan got nervous when he saw Jesus enter his domain. You know that Satan, his throne is on this earth. Did you know that? No, Pastor, he's in hell. No, you're wrong. Jesus said, I saw Satan cast down from heaven like lightning. I mean, you ought to be terrified when you think about the fact that Satan, how many of you already knew it? You look around, yeah, I know, I can tell. Yeah, he's here. One of these days, he'll be bound in chains and cast into the pit. But right now, he's working overtime. You know why? His days are numbered. His days are numbered. Greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. He that's in the world. He's working in this world. His throne, His domain, His kingdom is in this world. And one day He saw Jesus step into this kingdom. And you had to know it made Him nervous. Because in His mind He's saying, look, I earned this myself. I tricked Adam. And now this place is mine. And Jesus steps in and says, I'm about to buy it back. Don't you love it? He said, mankind lost his reign on this earth through a man. Jesus shows up as a man and says, I'm fixing to buy it back. Praise God, He did. He bought us back. He purchased us. He paid our debt at Calvary. That's what I mean when I said He bought it back. No, Jesus stepped in to His domain and Satan got nervous. That's why Satan inspired Herod to kill him. He just said, look, I want you to make sure you get him. Kill all the babies. Just kill them all. He tried to stop him before he could ever reach his destiny. Before he could ever fulfill the purpose for him being here. Listen, when God sends you somewhere with a purpose and a destiny, Satan will always try to stop you by throwing obstacles across your path. Things that are unfair. Things that are unjust. Just kill all the babies. Our enemy throws those things across our path because he knows where your purpose and destiny are is going to take you to a place of great authority, and he wants to try to derail your progress. He wants to throw you off track. But again, I quote that passage of scripture that we love so much, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Now, whether you realize this or not, but Jesus coming to be born in a stable was part of the strategic plan of God. All the difficulties that surrounded the birth of Christ, all the painful circumstances, all the hardships that Mary and Joseph had to face, they all had a purpose. And that brings me to the first point of this message that I want to share with you today. I believe through the Spirit of God, number one, there is a reason for the resistance in your life. There's a reason for it. You say, Pastor, I don't like it. I don't like it either. I wish it wasn't there. And if God wanted to, He could make it go away. And if He hasn't made it go away, and you've asked Him to make it go away, guess what? There's a reason for it. Luke chapter 2, this is that famous passage of Scripture that we think about at Christmas time, verse 6 and 7. So it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Again, this seems like kind of an anticlimactic entrance into the world for our Redeemer. He had to face and they had to deal with a lot of stuff. And I just want to remind you that there is a reason for your pain. There is a purpose for the struggle that you're in right now. There is a purpose for the adversity that you face. You know, God certainly could have come to this earth as a triumphant king. And one day, brothers and sisters, He will. One day He will come just like that. And it's not that God can't get you out of your painful situation. He can. We're talking about the God of the universe that can do anything. He can step in. The Bible even says, look, He makes our way straight. He goes before us. And He has the power, and He has the ability, and He has the wisdom to do all of that. And if He chooses not to do that, you need to understand that there is a strategy that He's using in your life. The Father hid the Christ child in a stable where those who sought to destroy Him wouldn't think to find Him. They wouldn't even think to look there. He hid Him there so that they would not be harmed. He put Him in a place where only the shepherds who were given directions by the angels would be able to find Him. He kept Him there where only the wise men who followed the star would be able to locate them. Sometimes God will allow you to have a problem in your life to stop the enemy from having access to you, and He'll put you in a place off the grid for a while. But then God says this, and I love it, after you suffer for a while, I will establish you. Amen. Amen. A lot of people don't know this, but after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph fled to Egypt. Stayed there for 2 years. For 2 years, the Savior was living on the run. on the lurch. Had somebody met him then and looked at the situation that Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus were in, they would have said, that isn't much of a Savior. That isn't much of a Redeemer. And there are times when people will meet you in a period of your life, and they'll look at you when things aren't going right and things are not doing well for you, and they'll judge you prematurely, or they will form an opinion about you based upon one instance in your life, because they don't see your ultimate destiny in God. God had a plan for all the difficulty that Mary and Joseph would endure, and He has a plan for your problem too. And I want you to remember that. But what really draws me to this text verse and this passage of Scripture is that it really tightens the focus, for me at least, of who Christ is, and it personalizes it for me. Because we can talk about the Savior, we can talk about the Father and all of that, but what we need to know is we have a Savior. Look at verse 6, Isaiah chapter 9. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I love this Old Testament announcement, if you will, of the Savior, because it takes us away from the huge, unreachable, unattainable perspective of who God is, and it personalizes it. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. What I'm saying to you, my friends, is that Jesus didn't just come to redeem the world or to rebuke the enemy or to set the captives free. He came the way anyone who loves you ultimately ends up coming, and that is to a place where they want to understand your perspective. Now I understand what the Bible means when it says, though it cost you all, gain understanding. Here's something for you to think about. Listen, you cannot love somebody completely if you don't understand their perspective. The Bible tells us that a man who is married is to dwell with her according to knowledge. You see, you're going to have to know her if you're going to be able to love her. In the 25 years that I've pastored this church, I have seen couples, young couples, argue over and over again, and in their arguments, they're trying to prove their point. People who've been married for a while and have survived because they've learned to see things from the other person's perspective. And since Christ is the groom and the church is the bride, He says, I want to get to know you in order that I can dwell with you. So He came in the flesh so that He might see what it's like to be you, to see what it's like to be me. If He had not come, He would have never known what tired was. You know, the Bible says that Jesus many times would get away to a private place to rest for a while. If He had not come, He would have never known what rejection was from a human perspective. If He had not come, He would have never known what sleep was. You see, in His eternal state, the Bible says He never sleeps nor slumbers. How many of you have cried out to the Lord at 3 in the morning? How many of you worried that you were going to wake Him up? No, He is available to you all the time because of what Christ has done. If He had not come, He would have never known what loneliness was, or emptiness was, or rejection was. If He had not come, He would have never known what temptation was. He came so that He could be touched by all the things that touch us, and therefore you have a Savior who understands. Christmas is about a God who is so in love with you that He's willing to see your world from your perspective, even though it costs Him dearly. So, He came. He wore the flesh of a man. He walked around in our world. He was touched by everything that touches us, so that when you cry out to Him in prayer, He will understand what you are trying to say. By the way, was Jesus really born on December 25th? Does it really matter? My guess is that He wasn't. My guess is, and of course I'm just a I'm just a Baptist preacher. I don't know nothing. I know Christ and Him crucified, and that's all I have to offer you. But my guess is, because of the things that were happening at that time, He was probably born in March or April, because I believe the shepherds were keeping watch over the Passover sheep in the fields of Boaz. I believe that's what was taking place. I could be wrong. I mean, it's late enough in the year. I could be wrong once, or, you know. I really don't care. All I care about was that He was born. We're not sure. We don't know what day He was born. So we pick today. We bake a cake, you know. We throw a party. We get together. We have a feast. Why? Because we love Him, and we want Him to know, and we want others to know that we love Him. I don't like to use this analogy because it seems weird. And I did it in the first service meeting. Yeah, they didn't understand, but I know you will. How many of you celebrate your pet's birthday? Will you raise your hand? Come on, Mina. I know. Yeah, and there's a few kids that tell it on Mom and Dad. Listen, God forgive me. I don't want you to get the wrong idea about this. But I don't know when my dog was born. You know what we did? We picked a day. You know what day we picked? December 25th, because it was in the winter. So we picked a day. What difference does it make? The dog is here, you know? We know that she was born. We know she's getting old. I don't know how old she is. She needed to be rescued, and we, you know, we made a decision. Anybody want a dog? Listen, folks, hear my heart. I don't care about the date. I care about the fact that when sin had me in chains, I care about the fact when my enemies have encamped around me. Does anybody know what that feels like? I care about the fact that when I was in the depths of despondency and no one understood what it was like to be me, I have a Savior who understands. Amen. I care about the fact that He loved me enough to come to where I was and feel my pain and be touched by everything that was touching me. That's what I care about. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Finally, somebody understands. Finally, somebody understands why my soul is overwhelmed. Finally, somebody understands how I wrestle against my own flesh. Finally, somebody understands the difference between weakness and wickedness. Somebody finally understands when I'm angry, when I'm disappointed, or when I'm heartbroken. So when I turn to you, or I turn to someone in my life, when I turn to someone and they don't understand, or I turn to someone and there's no compassion, or when I turn to someone who I am depending on and they walk away, then I go to the rock of my salvation. Amen. The stone the builder has rejected. Do you know why? Because He's not just the ruler of the universe. He's not just the God of heaven. He's not just the Lord of all creation. He's not just the captain of angel armies. He's mine. He's mine. That brings me to the last thing that I want to mention, and you will have the message today, and that is number 3. His perspective changes our perspective. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but with in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The Bible tells us He was tempted by sin, but He never sinned. If He had sinned, He would have been disqualified to buy us back. He understands what it's like. He understands when no one else understands. When you pour your heart out to people who are callous and cold and indifferent, He understands. He doesn't just understand what you're going through. No, He's in touch with how you feel about what you're going through. So as we close this service today, listen, we cannot take away or add anything to what is Christ. He was God before anyone was around to call Him God, and He will be there long after we're gone. His word is forever settled in heaven. We cannot take away anything from all that is Christ, but maybe there is something from the Christ child the baby in the manger that we can learn today. Maybe there will be a time when you might have to leave your perspective long enough to see and feel and understand someone else's perspective. Maybe there will come a time when you have to stand where someone else has stood and experienced what they've had to endure and feel the pain that they have had to feel. There may come a time when you might have to imagine what it was like to grow up the way they had to grow up, and maybe you'll begin to understand why that person is the way they are, and maybe you'll understand that they didn't get there by themselves. Our text says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is my Savior. He is my King. He is my Deliverer. He is the lifter of my head. His name is Jesus." There are two things that have always amazed me about Christmas, and I'll be finished. First of all, that God loves us so much that He would wrap Himself in humanity, be born through the portals of a virgin's womb, be laid in a manger so that He could understand a sinner like me. It's always amazed me. What kind of love is that? I don't know that kind of love anywhere else. I've never seen it. I've never seen it portrayed. It's an amazing love. Amazing love. It's always blown my mind. The second thing about Christmas that totally blows my mind, and that is that some people want nothing to do with the God that came to redeem them. What is your response to Christ today? Maybe you're here today and you are a follower of Jesus, and maybe it is your practice. Maybe you come to church every Sunday. Some of you do. Most of you do. It blesses me to see that. I love faithfulness. I love seeing it. I love seeing it in other people. Sometimes I'm not that faithful. I love it. I think God loves it too. Maybe you're here today and maybe you have something in your life that is causing you to respond to Christ. For whatever reason you're here, I'm grateful, okay? I'm glad you're here. We're grateful for you being here. Interestingly, though, every person here today will respond to Jesus. One way or another, you're going to leave out of here today having responded to Christ. Because here's the thing, I have stood and I preached the Word of God and I preached Christ and Him crucified. There is only one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, and that is the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess what? Come on. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. And the dangerous thing about being in a place where the gospel is preached, you're forced to respond. You say, "Ain't nobody going to force me to do anything." Well, I'm not saying I'm going to. I'm saying when you're presented with the gospel, you have to choose. You will either accept Jesus or you will reject Him. And if you say, "Well, I'm just not ready to decide now," in a way, you're saying, "Not today, Jesus." And you're rejecting Him. So my question to you, and I ask this in love, because I believe the Word of God to be true, and I believe that any person that steps out of this life without Jesus will be lost and undone for all eternity. Why else would Jesus come? Why else would He stand up from His throne? Heaven. Why else would He endure what He had to endure if there was another way to be right with God? There isn't. There are many human ways they try, but there's only one way that we can be right with God, and that is the blood-sprinkled way, through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We celebrate Christmas. It exists because of Easter, because of Good Friday, because of Easter. He came to die. He hung on a cross. And listen, He was dead. Satan had a holiday because he looked and he's dead. He's not breathing, no heartbeat. They buried him. He's dead. Satan said, "I finally won the victory. It's all mine." What happened 3 days later? He stepped out of the grave alive with power in his hands. He was seen of the disciples. He was seen of the women first. He was seen of over 500 people at one time. He went to hell and announced his victory. And the Bible says he's coming back again.
Amen.
So my question to you is, are you ready to meet him? I can't think of any better time than right here at Christmas time. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, or maybe you're in a place in your life where you just want to pray, you say, "Pastor, it's not about all that. I'm a believer. I trust the Lord. I just got something on my heart." Listen, he said, "Bring it to him. Lay it at his feet. He'll take that load. He'll make it easy for you." I mean, life won't be easy. Don't misunderstand me. But he will lift that load and you can carry it. So let's stand. I'd like to pray for you one more time. Again, thank you for being here. But let's not leave out of here if there's any unfinished business with God. Let's get it settled today. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, I do want to thank you for each person that is here today. I want to thank you, Lord, for their time, for their attendance, for their attention. I want to thank you, Lord God, that as the word has went forth, Lord, I pray and I trust that it has found lodgment within their hearts and minds. Heavenly Father, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And Lord, if there's somebody here that has a heavy heart, there's somebody here that feels like they're separated, they have no one who understands, no one who is concerned, Father, I pray that you would help them to see that you love them enough to come unto us. Unto us you came. You made it personal when you stepped into this world. Father, I pray if there's someone here that doesn't know you in the full and free pardon of sin, that they would come and they would get this matter settled quickly today. Again, God, if there's someone here that has a burden, a heavy heart, Lord, maybe they're just somebody that lacks peace or the assurance of their salvation. Help them to come, Lord God. Give them what they stand in need of. Again, Lord, I pray a blessing on each person today. Place a hedge of protection around them as they go. And we'll be sure to praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.